Welcome to the lounge room, first of all. Maybe this reminds you of your own lounge room. It reminds me of my lounge room because it's really, really messy. There's stuff all over the place. And if you were to go into a lounge room and spend time in your lounge room, that is often the place where you get given instructions by your parents. So things that you have to do. So I wondered if you could tell me what some of these instructions mean. So if I was to say, or if your parents were to say to you, in your lounge room, go and tidy your room, what does that mean? Does anyone know? What does that mean? Yeah? Delete? It means go and tidy your room, yeah. So does that mean you go and pick up all the stuff on the floor, you open a cupboard, you throw it in, and you kind of lean on the door and hope it doesn't all fall back out again?
Yeah.
Is that what it means? Actually, yeah, it does. No, it means coat hangers. It means you need to get some coat hangers. It means put things away in the spot that they belong. Okay, so the instructions actually very, very simple. So let's try another one. If your parents were to say to you, go and clear the table, what does that mean? Oh, did you say that again?
Get
all the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. Yes, so it does. Does it mean you just stack the plates like this and you just put them on the end of the bench and maybe you sort of just leave that on the floor or something?
In the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher. Yes, it's a pretty clear instruction, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to do. One more then. Your parents say to you, you're in the lounge room and you're watching TV and they say, it's time for bed. What does that mean? Go to bed, yeah. Does that mean, though, that you go into your room, you get on your bed, you start jumping on it, you get your best toy, and you play with that a little bit? Is that what it means? It's going to bed? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that you go into your room, you turn your light off, you get into bed, and you go to sleep. No, no more hands up for that. That's the instruction. Well, sometimes our instructions are really, really clear. And I think in this Bible reading, our instructions are very, very clear. I think we could go through this whole passage backwards and it would still make some sense. So let's have a little look at that. Let's start at the very last verse. It says this, God who made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I think it makes a bit of sense, but just to make sure, I've written it out on a big whiteboard here. And I thought what we could do was, there's a couple of big words, so just to write around the edges a little bit, see if we can understand it a bit more. So God made him who had no sin. Who's the him we're talking about?
Jesus.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to write Jesus just here so that we know what we're talking about. So made him who had no sin to be sin for us. What does it mean for him to be sin for us? That's tricky. What does that actually mean? Yeah. You don't know? Okay. Well, I reckon if I write in here to take, right over the top of it, take our sin for us, try that. So God made Jesus, who had no sin, to take our sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, righteousness is a huge word. It takes up half of my whiteboard here, and it's a pretty big whiteboard. What does it mean to become the righteousness of God? What might that be talking about? Yeah,
like to be
Jesus. Yeah, okay. So what about this? If I sort of just put a bracket around this, so right, so maybe it means for us to be right with God, that sort of thing. We're friends with God again. And see, this is what the Bible's really about. This is the message that God wants you to know. This is the most important message you will ever hear. And it's very clear in our Bible reading today. This is what we need to know about. So if we were to go back a little bit further into our Bible reading, halfway through, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so if they know this stuff, they know that Jesus came to die on the cross for their sins, then they are a new creation. New creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. So if we're to become a new creation, does that mean suddenly I'm going to look different and have really cool hair like this guy or a really good voice, or I can dance or play music really well? Is that what it means?
Yes.
God might give me the ability to do some stuff, yep. But most of the time, my outside's not really going to change very much. I'm going to look like me. My body's still going to get old and it's going to get slower and wear out a little bit. But once we know Jesus and we're in a relationship with him, it's like we've already got one foot into something new, one foot into eternity, where we got into something, a relationship that lasts forever. That's the thing that changes. And it changes on the inside first. So it might change the things I think, might change the things I feel, And therefore, it might start to change the things I do as well. Even though I look the same, I've already got one foot into something that will last forever. So if we keep going right up to the very start of our Bible reading then, so since then, if we know what it is to fear God, or we know what it is to know that Jesus died on the cross for us, we know what it is to be a new creation and have one foot into something that lasts forever, we know what it is to honour God and respect God and make him sovereign and king of everything, then the logic is that we try and persuade others. We try and tell others. That's the instruction. If we know these things, the instruction is to try and tell others. But the question is Paul, who wrote this letter, talking just about him, or is he talking about us as well? Okay, I've got some pictures I want to show you. You have to look up on the screen. I'm going to put some wildlife pictures up, and I want you to see if you can see the animal. And if you think you can see it, you can put your hands up. Adults can as well, not just kids. Here's the first picture. Can you see the animal in this picture? Yeah. Ooh, we've got a couple of hands coming up now. What can you see? Johnny?
A giraffe.
A giraffe. Can you see the giraffe? I'll put some arrows up. Here we go. There's the giraffe. Now, the first time I saw this picture, it was on a tiny little screen. I had no idea what I was looking for. And you go to the zoo and they sort of stick out because they're really tall. But in the wild, they can be pretty hard to see. What about this animal? Can you see this animal up here? Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. What can you see? What can you see? An owl. We can see an owl. Okay, let's put a ring around it. So if you can't see it, there it is there. Now, this is an animal that sleeps during the day, so it doesn't want people to see it. It wants to hide away, and it looks just like the tree, doesn't it? It's really hard to see. Okay, let's try this one. What can you see in that one? Can you see the insect? There is an insect in this one. Oh, yeah, you got it straight away. See, I thought you might have gone, okay, here's a dragonfly, but that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the stick insect. See here? It's got its body, and it's got some legs. And I heard someone just say it. There's actually two. There's another one here, and it's got some legs here. I wonder if the dragonfly actually knows it's there. It's hiding away, and we can't see it very easily. Okay, what can you see there? Hard. This one's hard. This one's hard. Oh, I'm hearing over here. Let's have a little look. See if we can see it. I heard tawny frog mouth. That's a tawny frog mouth just there. And you can see it's got its beak. And it's I, but what's more, when you look closely, there's two. I looked at it about 10 times before I saw the second one, and there they are, two tawny frog mouths sitting in a log or in an old tree, and you can't see them very well. Okay, last one. Here we go. Can you see this one here? What can you see sitting in the tree there? It's a bit harder, this one. Can you see it? What can you see? This one's way harder. Yeah, Georgina? There's a cat. There is a cat. Let's have a look. Put a ring around it. There's a cat asleep in the tree. It's all curled up and having a sleep. And what's more, I've got a few more cats, if you can see those ones. They're kind of good. This one here is a cat. And there's a cat just here as well, asleep on top of the thing. Now, the thing is, when I first found out about Jesus, I kind of wanted to hide as well. I didn't really want to stand out. And I'd come along to church, and it was okay to come to church because I felt like I could fit in really well and people thought like me, and that was a great place for me to be. And it actually is, really, as well, a great place for us to come. And if you don't come to church every week, then I think you're missing out sometimes, especially because the world doesn't know Jesus very well. Here's where we can be nurtured and we can be encouraged and we can find out more about God. But I think Paul is telling us we need to stand out, though. We do need to stand out when we go into the real world. This is how God kind of works. Okay, here's a picture of God. Well, that's God's hand. Very famous painting in Rome. It's God's just made the world. What does he do? Well, he sends Jesus into the world. And we've got it in our reading here a little bit. But also in 1 John 4, it says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What does Jesus do? Well, he's got some disciples he recruits, and what does he do with them? Well, in Luke chapter 10, he sends them out into the world too to go into all the villages in pairs and to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Not only that, when Jesus' ministry on earth finishes and he goes to be with God in heaven, in Matthew 28, he sends the disciples into the whole world to make disciples of the whole nations. He says something similar in Mark, and in John 20, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. God's sending stuff, but he's still not finished. He finds this bad guy called Saul. And he goes blind and he sends him in Acts 9 to someone's house and says, you'll get more instructions there. He's sending Paul now. He changed his name. Not only that, he's got a friend called Timothy. And in 1 Corinthians 16, you can see he's sending Timothy to Corinth as well to expect him and to greet him and welcome him. God is a sending out kind of God. Now, if Paul is talking about just himself, and he is talking about himself, but he's not talking about us, then we've got a bit of a problem, haven't we? Because then this happens. All those guys, we talked about before about having one foot in eternity, these guys have both feet in eternity. They're not with us anymore, and the message stops. No, I think Paul's logic is that since we know what it is to fear God, to know that Jesus came for us and to be a new creation, the logic is we are to try and persuade others. He says in verse 15, and Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If we know this, if we know about Jesus, we're living for him. It's like in our skit that our Stacks of Praise guys did before, where they had the party and people had forgotten to invite the guests. Well, we've got a great party that we're part of, an eternal party. We're already new creations ourselves. We've got one foot there. And we need people to share the party with. We need to invite people. In fact, Paul says we're like ambassadors. That's an important person. These are some of Australia's ambassadors to America. So the guy in the middle is Joe and the guy on the right is Kim. They're very important people. And if people want to do business with Australia in America, they'll often go to these guys first. So Joe's the current one, Kim's the old one. And so they'll do business with these ambassadors. Well, we are doing business in the world for God. That's our job now. But it's really hard to know what to do and what to say. Nicole, you can take over. It's hard.
So, we thought, right, what's a family living room without a family in it? So, we'd like to invite a family. So, would the Cause family, like to come up and we're going to have a little look at just a regular day in the life of. So, welcome up. There we go. We're going to pretend, well, okay, you guys are going to pretend this is just a regular day in your life, okay? You may be sitting in the living room, sitting in your lounge room. Oh, hold on a second. Krista, you're sitting down. You're a working mom. You don't get to do that, do you?
Quite nice, actually.
Yeah, quite comfy, isn't it? All right. Well, we'll pretend that we're not here. We're just one big giant fly on the wall. And just show us what it would be like, average family chat.
We didn't bring your shoes. That's okay. What day is it? Sunday. All right, I'm thinking about what we've got coming up this week. What have we got tomorrow, Spence?
School.
That's right, you go to school now. What year are you in?
Prep.
Prep, okay. So we've got to pack lunches tomorrow.
I'm in church.
You're in church, that's right. Anything else we've got on tomorrow? Aidan, you're good at remembering things.
We've got grandma's.
That's right. You guys are going to go to grandma's and then I pick you up. And what else is happening this week? What about Thursday, Lucas? What happens on a Thursday?
Church.
A different kind of church. What do you go to on a Thursday? Mops. So you go to Mops. All right, and we've got other exciting things happening on Friday, don't we, Aidan? What's happening on Friday?
We're going camping.
We are going camping. So we have to pack, and I have to do
everything.
We have to pack everything. What do we have to pack, Spence?
Everyone's clothes. Only our family's clothes.
Our family's clothes and a tent. Anything else?
How much more? A night jacket.
Some jackets, yeah. Something to sleep in.
Some blankets for the tent.
Yeah, some sleeping bags. What about you, Aidan? What else do we have to pack?
The air mattresses.
Air mattresses, yeah.
And
yeah.
We have to put them in the trailer.
And also some shoes.
Some shoes, yeah. What are you most excited about with camping, Aidan?
Trying out the air mattresses. And cooking some marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Having a fire.
Having a fire to cook the marshmallows. That's right.
Oh, that's very beautiful. Excited. Thank you, guys.
Getting a stick to put our marshmallows on.
Yeah, this is about like home. I never get a word in edgeways.
Yeah, that's about right, isn't it?
Sometimes we can cook something else.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I think I'd like to come camping with you. I haven't got any plans for the weekend. Maybe I'll tag along. Well, thank you very much. It's a nice little snapshot of life. Okay, you can come and sit down again.
Well, that was really fun because we got to see how families work, and maybe you saw a little bit of how your family works in that as well. So I know for us it's really, really busy and it's hard to spend time together. And when we do, it usually we talk about this sort of stuff, daily life kind of stuff. So our kids will come home and I'll say, "What did you do at school?" And they'll go, "Eh, not much." Or they might say, "Oh, I had a test." And I'll say, "How'd you go?" And they go, "Oh, no." That sort of stuff. And sometimes they'll tell us a little bit. They'll say we had a math test or whatever. They'll go to cricket training and I'll pick them up and I'll say, "How'd you go?" And they'll say, "I batted okay." And lots of stuff. We talk about normal sort of stuff. Anita comes home, we talk about our days at work and all those sorts of things. That's normal conversation that we kind of have. And I think it's into this space that God asks us to talk about Him. So what we're not really trying to do is just sort of walk in and say this straight away necessarily. But when people ask you what you did on the weekend, something that we can say is, "I went to church." Or you can say, "I went to Boyzone on Thursday," or GFS on Tuesday, or MOPS on Thursday. All these different things that we can talk about and say. And I think that is our starting point. Sometimes people will ask us questions about that, and we get to keep going. We might go a bit further. We might eventually get to answer some questions that tell them about Jesus, because this is a thing they really need to know. Other times it won't happen straight away, but that's okay. It's about doing things when we get the opportunity. I have a friend who's a missionary, and his job was to go overseas. He's back now. He was to go overseas and tell people about Jesus. And I asked him the other day, I said, "What is the first thing that you have to do when you go over there? Do you have to go over and stand on a street corner and yell into a megaphone and yell this sort of thing out the minute you get there?" And he looked at me as if I was a bit insane and like he was really, really worried about me. He kind of went, "What?" And we decided that actually what he needed to do most was to make friends. And this is his actual words after that. He said, "Then they actually teach you to shut up and listen," he said. "So you make friends and you listen to people. That's the first thing. I reckon you guys are going to do that anyway. The next thing," he said, "was we love people and care for them," which I also think you were going to do anyway. And then he said, "In fact, it's better if you don't go in with an agenda." So you don't go in trying to sort of say this and shove it into every conversation first thing. But actually you show love and you live with people alongside them and you slowly get chances to share a bit about Jesus as you go. And that might be the best way. I reckon there are two things that we're really scared of when it comes to sharing about Jesus. One is that people will say no and reject it. And the other is that people might not like us anymore. So we're scared of being rejected and for failure. Well, I've actually got another layer on here. I'm going to show you something. It's another layer. It's okay. I'm wearing my true colours underneath here. Now, I barrack for North Melbourne, right? Who are the best football team in the whole league? Put up your hands if you go for North Melbourne. Oh, there are a couple. That's good. That's more than I thought I was going to get. Maybe the rest of you. I did say put up your hands if you go for North Melbourne. Some of you might not have heard that properly. Okay. All right, okay. Put up your hands if you go for Essendon. Yeah, there's a few more of them. Put up your hands if you go for Hawthorn. Yeah, lots of them. Does that mean, Hawthorn supporters, that we can't be friends anymore? Of course we can be friends. We live with differences all the time. All the time we live with them. I go for North Melbourne, you go for Hawthorn. We can still be friends. I'm friends with Collingwood supporters, of all things. They're very cool. The Collingwood supporters are very cool. So it's okay. All day, every day, we live with differences. So people are not going to stop being your friend because you're a follower of Jesus. They're not going to sort of reject you if you tell them you go to church. The other thing is, I've got one of these. This is our little ladder at home. As you can see, this is what happens with the ladder. I don't know whether you've got one of these. These are magnets with all the teams on them, and you can kind of move them around. Actually, hang on, the kangaroos are a bit low. I'll put them up the top. There we go. That's better. And you've got a little column here to write down when they win and write down when they lose. And the ones with the most wins, of course, get to go to the top of the ladder. There actually is no ladder in heaven. I don't think that there's God's got a little ladder up here with all us on it, and the amount of times that we tell people about Jesus and they say yes, they want to follow Jesus, and the amount of times they say no, they don't want to. I don't think God is keeping score like that. It's not even us who get to make people Christians, really. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul likens telling people about Jesus to a bit like planting a tree. He says, I, Paul, planted the seed, some other guy named Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. It's actually God's work. He's the one who will make people into Christians. It's their business between them and God. All we need to do is be faithful and obedient and take opportunities when they come to tell them. The job's not quite as big, I think, as we sometimes make it. And we get very scared of it, but I think we can do it. It's a case of being faithful.